Father, our wonderful Savior and Lord and sovereign of all. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there isn't a demon out there that doesn't do it. They probably declare your lordship more than your church does. And I pray today, Lord, that you would stir in our souls the desire to, even in a greater way, declare your lordship in our lives. You paid for it. You waited for it. You deserve it. And I pray, Lord God, that you would honor your word today, which is your breath to us. Make it real, I pray. Clear out the clutter. And I do just plead the blood of Jesus over this time and over this place to the glory of God the Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. They were discussing earlier, who's the boss? Is it the husband? Is it the wife? Lord help us if it's the children. Probably not the scripture that one would expect for Sermon on Bosses Day. But you know, occasionally it's helpful to see what it shouldn't be. Right? Dave's going to put a classified ad. If this was an ad, somebody who's looking for people to work for them. You ever had a bad boss? I'm looking for people to work 24/7. That means every minute of the day you belong to this person. You have no time of your own. Who will do what I want, when I want it? Short-term dividends, fantastic. No benefits. I'll call you. You don't need to contact me. What about that ad intrigues you? Is there anything in there that looks good? Short-term benefits or dividends are fantastic. You get really good pay. It's like my sister who works for the government. And in the State Department, if you are sent to a very dangerous place, you get very good pay. I mean, you get huge pay. They wanted to send her to Lagos, Nigeria, right as the ambassador was leaving the country, the United States ambassador. And I called her up and said, you know, I know the Lord Jesus Christ would protect you, but I don't believe it's his will you go there. So she didn't go. There is something about a bad boss that is horrible. They can send you to therapy. How many know that? It's amazing to me that there are people that go to work and spend their whole night in terror because they have to go to work. And not just to work, I'm not talking about working, but the actual place or the person that is their supervisor or their boss. It's horrible. This is not the Lord's ad for us. Now, while he does want us to give our life to him 100%, you do know that he does give you a little time of your own, right? He lets you become who you are, who he wants you to be. He doesn't have you tight-fisted. And really, for him, the benefits are out of this world. They're the best. The devil doesn't need you to call him because he's on the hunt for you. He's looking for you. He's got an ad in your soul. He wants to know if you're going to take him up on it. Second Peter is a portion where the Apostle Peter is talking about heresies that are going to come into the church. In the first book, he was talking about being persecuted. This one is on his heart, is heresies. Do you know why that's important? Because there is somebody who wants to be your boss. And the only way he can accommodate that is to take the principles Dwayne was talking about and undermine them. Take out any root system, try to remove any grounding in your life, and then he can come in and build whatever he wants to do. And if you don't think the enemy's not methodic, you're wrong. He has a system. He has a whole, not a hierarchy, but a lowerarchy, really. But he has a whole institution, and he knows how to govern. What are the effects of a bad boss? First of all, it affects your mind. We're going to read the scripture. Please stand to honor the word. 2 Peter 2, 1-9. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. And they will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. And many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by turning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. And if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. You may be seated. Now, as we're going through this, I also want to just clarify something that you may feel I could never be swept away. I could never be changed from my footing in Christ, and I pray that that is the case for everyone in this room. But we all know people, family members, people we work with, friends, associates, wherever. We need to be in tune, because believe me, there is a surge of garbage that is not only coming, but is already here. And you know where it's coming from? If the devil put up his horns and came up in front of you and said, I want you to follow me, would you follow him? Of course not. But what if he puts a cloak over it? You can't tell it's him. That's what he does. He's an angel of light. So the Bible says here, false prophets and teachers are going to arise among you. Among you. They're going to take a little bit of the light because they know there's got to be some light. There has to be a little bit of Jesus, or the bulk of Christians won't listen to it. And they're in their kitchen, so to speak, and they're working around with all the percentages. And they're taking the name of Jesus, and this is always the key. I don't care what belief system, I don't care what preacher, I don't care who it is. If they adjust the name, the person, and the mission of Jesus Christ, and they adjust it at all, you do not listen to them. You do not. But a lot of people think, well, Sounds interesting. Well, it might be interesting. Just pray for the people. You don't have to take it hook, line, and sinker. Because he says false prophets are going to come. They will arise from within you. How many remember the story of Jonestown, Jim Jones? They took every Bible out of that place. And you know what they did? About 80%, if I recall correctly, was disenfranchised blacks from the southern churches. And he drew them in, took away the Bible, and gave them some Kool-Aid. And they killed the children first because they knew if the children were killed, the parents wouldn't want to live. You never adjust this book, folks. There's not a fire hot enough for what he did. But it comes, they draw from Christianity because that is, you know, people hear it and they think it's Jesus. Not necessarily so. In fact, here it says, these teachers will sneak in. They will sneak in. They don't come in big bangs. They sneak. Now, who do you know that sneaks? It's usually somebody that's up to no good, or they're trying to scare you. Okay, this Greek word, the first part of the word is the word para, and it means to come close beside. It's like paraclete, which is the comforter, the Holy Spirit, who comes to the side to aid you. He is actually coming to help us. This one is coming close, the Bible calls it, to introduce secret things. And he's going, psst, let me tell you something, psst. You know what that stands for? People saying strange things. And that's what they're doing. And it will sound interesting, and it'll sound new and fangled, but it's the old story of the devil. The devil has nothing new. He's a real recycler. Did you know that? And I tell you, he goes in the garbage and he recycles garbage. And I don't care what kind of bow you put on it, it's still garbage. The Bible says they come in secretly with destructive heresies. That means for your ruin. He's not just trying to hurt you. He's just not trying to hurt your day. He's trying to destroy you. And then it says, even denying the master who bought them. This is the Redeemer it's talking about. Who's that? Jesus Christ. You know, when I was reading this and thinking about it, and I thought, how important this would have been to Peter to highlight this when he says, it will even be people that deny the master who bought them and who sent them. Why is that important? Because Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And he remembers how horrible it was when Jesus looked at him upon that 3rd one as he was going to the cross. And the last thing he sees almost is Peter's face. And Peter's heart is broken because he knows that he has failed him. And yet in the great resurrection, he says, go tell Peter I've resurrected. To me, that's the most joyful scripture in the Bible practically. Peter never forgot it. But if you listen closely to what some preachers say, or teachers, whoever, they can come under a number of ways. They can come under counseling, they can come under preaching, they can come under teaching, they can come under seminars. That's why you have to study the material, make sure it's biblical. And what do? They put themselves or their teaching more important than Jesus. That's what they ultimately do. And I think Peter is saying here, ultimately they will deny Jesus. In fact, the evangelist who came to the cities in 1972 or 71, tomorrow will be 40 years since I've been a Christian. It's my favorite day of the year. The evangelist who came, who was so vibrant, who was so alive for Jesus, I found out recently he left his wife, married a 17-year-old or something. Hopefully she's 18. But anyway, he's preaching the gospel of good works. That doesn't change my salvation. But if I would have been very young in the Lord, it would have probably wounded me terribly. But I never had my eye on him. I had it on Jesus, thankfully. Even denying the Master. Can you imagine Billy Graham, for instance, denying Jesus? Would that give you a clue? Always ask him, who's Jesus to you? That's why Jesus asked Peter, who do people say I am? It affects our minds. It affects the way we think. If the devil can get you to change your thinking, he can slide in everywhere else. As a man thinketh, so is he, the Bible says. So it affects our mind, it affects our affections. The Bible says here that many are going to follow after this person and after their ungodly ways. Sensuality, all kinds of things. Why? Because once you have the mind engaged to follow the boss, your heart's going to go with it, right? That's why it's important for young ladies to keep their mind, not just give their heart, because the rest of them will go with it. Use your mind, because then it's going to come after your affections. And the real tragedy here is where it says the way of truth will be maligned. Ultimately, you know who's going to be browbeaten, who's going to be dismissed in society? It will be Jesus. Because what will people say? I thought he was a follower of Christ. It's a terrible, terrible witness. And Jesus himself will be maligned because of it and the truth. And if you throw the truth out, you have no foundation. Because then you go by every wind of doctrine. If you follow this, it will go from your mind to your heart, then it goes into your behavior. The Bible talks about it affects us. They become greedy, like the one that they're listening to. Did you know that you will become like the person you spend a lot of time with? Who's ever the dominant person, you will take some of their characteristics. It's important to spend our time with Jesus. It really is. I said this many, many years ago in the church I had before. This one woman, her husband, I said, you even start looking like your spouse. And she goes like this, because he was bald and she had a full head of hair. And I said, well, I don't think you become follically impaired, but we do resemble who we spend time with. We do. You can tell your influence. And then the Bible goes on to say, this one will make merchandise out of you. You know what a false teacher has in his eyes, his or her eyes? Dollar signs. Buy all their products, do all their stuff, etc. We got a book here that doesn't need anything added to it. Now, God raises up people to clarify things. But if it's not based and founded in this book, it's merchandise. The purpose to take you away from Jesus, not to bring you closer to him. Effects of a bad boss, it affects your mind, it affects your thinking, it affects your behavior, it affects your affections. Because you begin to give yourself away to the wrong person. And then it goes on to give a whole list here of people that really did listen to the wrong boss, didn't they? How'd you like to have Lucifer as your boss? He was all the organized angelic hosts. He was one of the top ones. And those that were under his charge had a very bad example, as it turned out. Bible says they were cast in chains into darkness. Never, never think that any demon or any angel, which is what they're called, demons, of the devil has full reign. They do not. They are in chains. They're in darkness. They're under the control of God. And they know it. That's why they called out to Jesus all the time. They cannot
bother you except through the allowance of the master. And they are chained. They can yell at you, they can accuse you, they can lie to you, but they cannot do anything to you. They are absolutely bound. And they know their fate. And they live in terror. Bible says they go to the deepest abyss, the deepest place. It talks about the ancient world. It talks about Noah. It talks about Sodom and Gomorrah and all the stories you remember. It talks about Lot. They had a choice to make. You know the choice Lot made? He looked out to the lush valley when Abraham said, you know, where do you want to go? And he looked at the beautiful land. And he made a decision with his eyes instead of his spirit. If I can impart anything that's of any value today, it's this. Make your decisions according to the will of God. Not what you see and not what you feel. And especially not if you're angry or upset, because then you will make the wrong decisions totally. Lot said, oh, that looks wonderful. Well, it was lush and green. But that can also be a trap, can it? It's like I've heard this comedian one time. He said, you know, when everybody tells you that, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side, meaning it's better if you go that direction. He said, have you ever looked under grass? Don't go there. Don't be led astray. Who's the true boss? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't just own the business, he owns us. He created us and then he redeemed us, which means he owns us twice. That's called the double blessing. And means he really wanted us. And he gives us a choice to live for him and to choose him. The devil will never give you a choice. Addiction will never give you a choice. You will absolutely do it whether you want it or not. The Lord is the only one who gave us a choice. Because the enemy knows if he can grab your mind and he can grab your affections and he can just introduce a little bit off, well, God doesn't mind if you do that once. Because you know, if you do it once, you'll do it twice. That's the cycle. So he seeks our complete devotion, of course. And he gives it to us in return, does he not? That's the great thing about being a believer, is that he loves us first. We don't have to try to figure it out ourselves. And the Bible says here, he knows how to deliver the godly or the pious out of the tribulation or the trial that's upon them. I want you to note the word to deliver. The Greek word, ruomahi, means, I love this, to deliver to oneself. What that means is when Jesus delivered us, he delivered us for himself, for his sake. Yes, it's for our sake, but he did it for us. He didn't just deliver us and then he throws us to the side and said, now make your own way. He delivered us for himself. He wanted us to be with him. Which is fabulous, isn't it? He delivered us for himself. And the Lord knows how to deliver the godly. The Bible calls it pious. Not kind of pie in the sky and the sweet by and by either. It means to have a godly, reverent relationship to Jesus Christ. It's not talking about pious works. It's talking about a devoted relationship to Jesus. And then he knows how to deliver us from those temptations and trials that the enemy tries to give us. The word here for temptation starts, I like the suffixes and I like the prefixes. I like all the sentence structure. And the important word here is paras, and this is the word that says limit or boundary. Did you know that any temptation, any trial that comes your way has a boundary? It has a limit to it. not only of time, but of space. You can wait it out through the person of Christ. God sets a boundary for it. The enemy does not have all power or all influence. So who's your boss today? Who's your boss? Is there somebody else trying to talk to you with an ad that says, you know, you're going to work for me all the time. I'm going to work you into the ground. I don't care what happens to you. I just want you to do my will. That's the enemy of your soul. But God wants something better for us. He delivered us for himself. He rescued us for a relationship, which is wonderful. And I wanted to share this scripture today because there's so many messages out there. And with the advent of all the different ways that they can advertise and they can declare it, people think the old rugged cross and the old way is out of fashion. It's not. God's mercies are new every day, and he wants to make that cross new today. So we're going to sing a wonderful chorus as we go along here. All hail King Jesus. And as we're singing, if you want to come up to the altar and just rededicate your life to Christ, rededicate him as your Lord, please do so. Don't feel uncomfortable to do so. But let's worship him.
Awesome.
Remember that the demons do worship. They have no choice. We have a choice. God honors it. So as we sing, He is Lord, He is risen, I want you to stand for Him. And then we're going to close the service, as many as would like to just worship the Master. Tell Him what's on your heart, if you'd like to. Okay. So as many as would like to just thank Him or dedicate your life to Him, whatever is on your heart as we close.